Right, we're moving on to the, I suppose you would call it the first item. This will be a panel discussion, childcare and early years. And this will be chaired by Diane Dodds, MLA. So can I ask Diane and her team to come forward and take their places here on the platform, please. Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Isn't it great to be back at conference and see some new faces, some old faces, make new friends, and enjoy a day together. So I think it's 2019, I think, since we last had our conference. So it's been a long time, and it's good to be back. Now, just so that we know that everybody is awake and everybody is listening to what we're going to do today, John Robinson and his team have provided each of you with one of these. Has everybody got one?
Yes.
Everybody has one. So this is a little interactive thing that we're going to do at conference today. And we're going to ask you questions as we proceed through the panel. But just so that we know that you're awake, that you're listening, and that you're with it, we're going to have a wee tester question, just so that we can get things going. And the panel have got their buttons as well. So we're going to be interested to see how everybody responds to this tester question. So our first question, and you can press ABC, 1, 2, 3, whatever you want on your button as we're reading it out. And this is just for fun. We will ask you questions about our very serious issue about early years in childcare. But our first question is, if you knew you were going to be stranded on a desert island and could only take one of these with you, which would it be? A bar of chocolate? David Brooks is nodding. A pillow and a blanket? A mobile phone? Or your partner? Quick, let's see who's pressing their buttons. Ah, so we have got a very faithful audience. Only only half of you said that you would take your wife or your partner. Now, good luck explaining that when you go home. I did vote that I would take Nigel with me. As we go through this panel, that is, we're going to use the little keypads in order to keep us alive and waking this morning. So I'm really delighted to be here to introduce a panel on childcare and early years. It's a hugely important issue for Northern Ireland, and we as yet in Northern Ireland do not have a childcare strategy. This has been an important issue in our manifesto that we fought the Assembly elections on. And as time progresses, and we hope that we can get back to a situation where devolution is possible, we want to see the issue of childcare becoming one of the most important issues that we will have to deal with. Childcare isn't just about families, it's about society, and it's about how we look after our youngest. It's also an issue around the economy. And it'll not be a surprise to know that we in the party see childcare and resolving the childcare issue as part of that critical part of the economic infrastructure as we go forward. If we think of today that 40% of our workforce in Northern Ireland are parents with young children, therefore, that means there is a huge issue about providing affordable childcare. If we are to achieve the magic word that has been on everybody's lips, I'm sure, over the last number of days, growth in our economy, then we will have to resolve the issue of affordable childcare, of allowing parents back into the workplace in order to drive the economy and achieve prosperity for families in Northern Ireland. So we have a panel of experts with us today, and I'm going to introduce them to you. So sitting beside me, we have Aoife Hamilton. Aoife is the head of charity services at Employers for Childcare, and many of you will have come across Employers for Childcare, particularly if you are working parents and you're claiming tax credits for childcare. We have Neil Hutchinson, who is head of policy at the Federation for Small Business. We have Jill McWilliams, who is head of operations at Clear Day Nurseries. And we have Diane Forsyth, who needs no introduction whatsoever to any of you. So we want to have a conversation today about childcare and how we see childcare going forward. Now, our minister has already started work on a childcare strategy, and there has been a huge amount of work already done on that. Our education ministers, Peter Weir and Michelle McElveen, have also done significant work in early years intervention with the production of the Fair Start report, and many of the issues in that have already been funded and are underway. So we are moving in a way that makes intervention at early years very, very important and is already happening. Michelle will no doubt talk to you today about our proposal around a full-time nursery place for every four-year-old in Northern Ireland. At the moment, it's a bit more of a lottery. But maybe to kick us off this morning, Aoife, I'm going to ask you about access to affordable childcare. And that is the biggest issue that people have. And what should we do to transform the situation in Northern Ireland? And what models are there that we might use in order to have and increase that access to affordable childcare?
Diane, thank you. And if I can just welcome the prominence given to this issue at conference. It's such a significant issue, and it's one that we're keen to see very much at the top of the political agenda. I do think it's right to set the context by starting with the affordability of childcare, and it's something that my team deals with at Employers for Childcare on a daily basis. I've got a few stats to start with. So a full-time childcare place in Northern Ireland is about £170 a week on average. That's the largest monthly bill ahead of their mortgage or rent for a third of families here. And as a result, 41% of parents are regularly using means other than their income, such as savings, an overdraft, credit card, even payday loans, to help pay for their childcare. So not only is this an affordability issue now, but it's storing up potentially financial difficulties for those families into the future. And the impact is that we have parents who are simply unable to remain in or to progress in the workforce because they cannot afford the childcare they need. And to give you a story, which I think helps put that in context, you're taking aside the stats. My team recently spoke to a family, two parents, both working full time with a household income of £60,000. As they said to us, they felt they were doing everything right. But mum was about to go back to work having had another child, and we did the figures for them. They were entitled to support with tax-free childcare with their childcare costs, but due to what their costs were going to be, taking into consideration their total income, the support they would be entitled to, with both parents working, once they'd paid for childcare, they were going to be just £17 a week better off, 45p an hour. And that was before we factored in commuting costs, which are rising. So it was mum talking to us, and as she said, am I going to go through all the stress of this, getting my childcare sorted, not seeing them, you know, for long days, having to deal with, you know, maybe if my childminder isn't sick, what do I do? And I'll be £17 a week better off as a result. It just didn't stack up for them. So what we're calling for and what we need to see is significant investment directly into this sector, recognising it, as Diane said, as critical economic infrastructure that enables parents to afford the childcare they need and to ensure that work is paying for everybody.
Aoife, I suppose very, very briefly, one of the issues that we have looked at and which might be helpful is an increase in the taxation allowance that parents receive for childcare. How important would that be? And then maybe Diane, just for a very brief intervention, you're a working mum. Maybe you want to add to how that impacts your life, because it is very important that we realise this is about real people and real families.
First, on that issue of it's the tax-free childcare scheme, we would welcome any efforts to increase the amount of financial support families are entitled to. So as well as raising the amount percentage-wise that families can benefit from, we would like to see caps removed on the financial support that families are entitled to. But I think what we'll come on to as well today is that financial support is there. It's important every family is aware of what they're entitled to, but we also need to see investment at source directly into the sector that promotes its sustainability, helps staff get the wages that they should be entitled to, that values the work they're doing, and critically reduces the cost of childcare at source for every parent in Northern Ireland.
And yes, as a working parent, I think it's really important to just mention how the affordability of childcare comes to your mind from the very moment that you are pregnant and you're in the workplace. You're looking forward to think, how long can I afford to be off on maternity leave? What are my plans going to be for the future? Personally, I've been really, really lucky. My mum is a great help to me. I've been able to share my childcare between registered childminders and her helping, in particular in term time. I know this is a big challenge a lot of my friends have, that you support your childcare throughout from September through to June, and then come July and August, it's a huge expense. And quite often it's making a lot of people apply to be out of the workplace over July and August, which then drives different issues straight back onto the economy. I know for me, as I have come through my career and been promoted through the ranks, a big question also is when you're going for a promotion, can I manage to take on the extra responsibility and the ad hoc meetings, and in particular as an MLA where things run on? That's a real challenge to women in particular in the workplace as to what that childcare looks like and means to people. And again, as I say, I've been very fortunate and my mum is an amazing support to me, but not everyone has that. And I think it's a very important aspect, and I know Jill will probably touch on that, that whenever people don't have their routine 9 to 5, there's really realistic problems that we have on childcare, doctors on call, people with prolonged meetings, ad hoc, and there's a lot of challenges that are faced, and I know that's my experience from that.
I think that's probably the experience of a lot of working parents in the audience today, and we want people to know that we know and understand that this is a massive issue in our community. So just to make sure everybody's okay, we're going to run a series of questions again with our little interactive keypad. And the first question that for this session is, which best describes you? A parent employed, a parent not employed, a grandparent employed, that's me, a grandparent retired, or I have no children. We just want to press on our buttons now and see what comes up from our audience. So it's a mixed picture, but the majority of people here today are parents who are employed. And we just do another wee quick question, which is around, and I know that you should never ask a lady her age, but it's anonymous, honestly. So what age are you, and which of those age brackets are you in? I'll not read them all out. You can see them on the screen if you want to just press which age are you. And if you, I just want to run on because they're signalling to me at the back that we're going to run out of time. If you have children and are paying for childcare, how much do you spend on average per month on childcare, whether it's free, provided by family, etc., etc.? It's just an interesting little survey around the audience. So in this audience, I would say a lot of parents and grandparents are providing childcare, and it's pretty evenly split over the rest. Have you heard of tax-free childcare in the audience? And Aoife will be particularly interested to know this because she spends a lot of her time trying to understand this. Have you heard of tax-free childcare? So in our audience today, 44% have and 56% haven't, which is, again, interesting. And again, maybe we'll leave this as the last of our questions for the moment. What is your current solution to childcare? Are any of those groups applicable to you for childcare? So again, family and friends are massively important in providing childcare for working parents. I want to move on very, very quickly. And we have said that the issue of childcare, it's a complex issue. And it ranges from interventions in early years that are really educational interventions to the way we look after our children, whether it's granny and granda do it, or it's formal and registered childcare minders, or a nursery. But one of the issues that we've been looking at and promoting, and our minister has made some announcements on, is the issue around intervention in early years, and in particular, the proposal that we standardise all preschool interventions to a full-time nursery place. And Diane, how important is that for families and for our children and young people?
Well, I think that it's vital that this is standardised because currently we have huge disparities in preschool provision across Northern Ireland. We've only 40% of children in the 22.5 hours a week preschool provision currently, with a number having a lot less hours and an awful lot opting out because of accessibility. All children should be able to access the same opportunities and leading to earlier and better outcomes for them educationally. There's particular, and Diane, you'll know in your constituency the same as me, in particular disadvantage for rural people, where there's more limited nursery provision and transport poses different challenges as well. Early years intervention is so critical, and for I've been out at Sure Start a number of times in recent weeks as well, and for those areas that aren't targeted by Sure Start, preschool is the first time that a lot of these children are having the opportunity to be assessed, and the early intervention opportunities present themselves for speech and language, special educational needs services, and to have that access for everyone is really, really important. For the children who don't go to any type of childcare where the mother has come out of the workplace, a lot of them, in particular through COVID, haven't had access to health visitors or assessments. And it is just so important that every child is treated equally. And I really welcome this the piloting of this scheme and the announcement of that by our education minister. 22.5 hours a week preschool for every child will be life-changing for a number of people.
Thank you, Diane. I do want to run on because we're now going to seriously run out of time. So is it an issue not just about education, it's an issue about equality for all children and across all parts of our community, including rural communities. But it's only we can only really have adequate childcare and propose to build on that if we have a sustainable childcare sector. And I know that the childcare sector was through a terrible time during COVID. And I'm really delighted that Jill is here with us from Clear Day Nurseries. And maybe, Jill, you want to speak briefly on how you see the sector, how we make it sustainable, and how we actually upskill and help to grow the number of employees, which is around 10,000 employees in the sector in Northern Ireland.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you for the opportunity to come here today and speak. I myself am part of Head of Operations for Clear Day Nurseries, a group of 8 nurseries, and we were very fortunate throughout the pandemic that we had a group to fall back on. A lot of daycare providers did have to close. They didn't have the financial support there to keep working with rising costs, with recruitment, with staff being off, with children being off, with parents not in their office working every day. Our costs really would be to the increasing costs in salaries for staff. The minimum wage has increased, the national living wage has gone up as well, and this then is put back onto the nurseries. We then have to put up our costs as a daycare provider. And I'm just touching on again what Diane had said beside me and Aoife as well about the change in the HMRC. If that was increased to help parents from the 20% that it currently is, going up to 30%, that would be a great impact that we can then pass on to parents, that they know that that service is there that they can avail of. It's lovely to see those figures and see that a lot of grandparents and parents and friends help out. But as a daycare provider in the early years, wider spectrum, we are offering quality provision of care. It's about meeting and supporting those children young needs. I've no doubt that grandparents and parents can sing songs and play and bake and everything else with them during the day, but it's vital that we help them in their early years. My colleagues also touched on, especially Diane, about if they're not receiving support within Sure Start, that they're coming to us within, a lot of our nurseries operate the preschool funded places as well, and you're quite right, they haven't had that support from health visitors. We haven't been able to use early intervention to see if they need support with speech and language, if there's other areas of support, the occupational therapists, speech and language, that's been missed. It's gone by the by that we're there as a daycare provider to help. Staffing has been a huge issue. It's trying to recruit staff, trying to keep our staff, trying to offer those salaries that we need to keep our staff within our daycare. It all comes onto that huge umbrella of what's happening now as well, the recession, and I think probably you'll touch on that as well. It's all about the growth. We need to keep our parents working to grow our community and our environment. We need our children then to be able to have affordable daycare places. I think that's something that I know that the whole party is looking at.
Thank you, Jill. I think it is massively important that many of us in this room have relatives, grannies, grandparents who actually do a lot of childcare and who hasn't been really thankful for the grandparent that has intervened in an emergency at school, etc. But we also need for those who do not have those options to make sure that we have the affordable childcare that's important. One last question for the audience, which I think is quite important. We talked about the affordability of childcare. Has anyone... Oh, sorry, they're not keeping up with me clearly here. Oh, we've got it now. Have you or your partner considered quitting work or reducing your hours of work because... the cost of childcare or childcare commitments? So just one last question. So some have thought about quitting work, and many have thought about reducing hours. Reducing hours is one of the issues that I see over and over again in constituency work. To try to bring this panel to a close, one of the things that we want as a takeaway from this is that childcare is not just a matter for families. Childcare is about looking after our children. It's about the early interventions for our children.
It's about treating all children equally, but it's also about the economy. And without adequate childcare, we cannot grow our economy. So we would like it to be seen as part of that critical infrastructure for the economy going forward, up there with the issue of skills, so that we encourage parents to stay in work or return to the work. And Neil is here, and I would ask you, Neil, just to finish off the panel by saying, how important, as a Federation of Small Business, how important is it that we have appropriate childcare, adequate childcare that is affordable, in order to keep parents in work and to grow our economy?
Yes, good morning. Thanks, Diane. At the FSB, our mission is to help small businesses achieve their ambition. And so that automatically brings us into the space of trying to look at how we start more businesses and we help those businesses that are already started to thrive. So economic infrastructure, yes, it's broadband, roads, etc., but it's without a doubt childcare as well. And about 3 or 4 years ago, that really hit home for us, and we've spent a lot of time getting to know this issue. We're quite unique in a sense that in our membership, we've actually got self-employed childminders, we've got childcare providers, and then we also have men and women who run businesses and work in those businesses, and so this is completely cross-cutting for us. And what's interesting is when we look at this issue of childcare, at the FSB, there's an issue now for the sustainability of the sector. There's a crisis right now that is similar by way of the calls and the emails we're getting to the start of COVID. And so we do need to address that. We've got some good ideas. If there's time, I'll come back to them. But on the wider issue of how you, in effect, allow more women, and this issue primarily affects women, to contribute to the economy if they choose, you have to look at why that is. And without a doubt, the statistics that we have, the best available, all point to economic inactivity. And if we look to pre-COVID, in the 2020 statistics, around about a third of women that were economically inactive say that family or home care commitments was the reason. That's around 60,000 women. Similarly, though, from a male perspective, it was only 8% of males economically inactive gave that reason. And the entire difference between male and female economic inactivity can be explained by that reason. And so that figure alone is quite staggering. And if there's ever a reason to put this issue up front, which we have seen here today, it's that alone. If we have just a minute, I'll touch on the sustainability side of things, if that's okay, Diane. Yes, I'll take that as a yes, thank you. During COVID, we had what's called a childcare reference group, and that was when people down tools and came together. Aoife, I think, was on that panel and various other people. What they were able to do was look at live issues in the same way that any of you would do in your business, or if you're part of a church, if there's a hole in the roof, whatever it may be, you come together and you fix the problem. There's a need for a group like that right now on behalf of childcare providers. I had an email this week from someone who says they've got 8 weeks left before they have to shut the doors. And there's a number of things you could do. In the short term, I think on staff, there's employment academies, shared skills run by the Department for the Economy for big businesses, multinationals. We should be running those academies, I think, for childcare providers, our local indigenous SMEs, and we could do that now. We could also speed up the checks, medical checks, et cetera, that prevent staff getting into these jobs. And that's actually a big reason. It takes months to get into a childcare job, even though you're good enough to get in per the employer. So we could address that. And the final thing we could do, like Scotland and Wales, we could take small business daycare providers out of the rate system and help them to just stay afloat at this point. The energy payments that all businesses are going to get will obviously help as well. And then what you can do is the structures that have been put in place, which are very, very good by the Education Minister on the medium to long-term childcare strategy, that will take care of itself then. So.
Thank you, Neil. So we do have the issue about the sustainability of the sector, and that is crucial because we do want more people to go back into work, more people to be skilled in work, and as we said, about 40% of the working population are parents.
with childcare responsibilities. So if we are to grow our economy and have a more prosperous Northern Ireland, then we have to try to resolve the issue. I want to say a huge thank you to the panel today. This is an issue that is of major importance to us as a party. It's hugely important to families and communities across Northern Ireland. It's something that our education minister has been working very diligently on the longer childcare strategy, but some of the quick wins that we can have now that try to help bring the kind of quality provision that our children deserve and need. So thank you very much. And thank you to you for answering the questions. You're going to be plagued by this all day long in answering one question after another. But sure, it keeps us all with the programme. Take care, everyone. Have a great day.